Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Yes, it's Friday, which means that our Critics Week is coming to a close, and maybe you're wondering why in a week full of top 10 lists we're ending with this song by the infamous YouTube singer Rebecca Black. That's because now comes the part of the show where we put on our Grinch hats and discuss the very worst of the year. In a moment, we're going to open the phones. We want to hear your picks for the year's biggest musical mistakes. Our phone number is 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or go to our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Let's start here in the studio with writer Andy Greenwald. And Andy, first of all, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me.
And a song hailed by many critics, not as the worst of the year, but as the worst ever.
Yeah, I feel like that's a little unfair. I mean, maybe it's the Friday spirit that's infusing the studio today. But I feel like Rebecca Black is a 13-year-old singer. She's probably the least worst thing of this song. I feel like it's hard to be too angry about a song that sort of captures the excitement of looking forward to the weekend with the lack of guile and the lack of grammar that only an adolescent can.
Which would have been fine if it had been written by a 13-year-old.
Yes, that's the thing. The song itself, I feel like the worst people involved were the people who either wrote the song and then, you know, promoted it, and also those who then tore her down, because maybe this is dating myself a little bit here, but it reminds me so much of the sort of, record your own song booths on cassette that we
exactly.
had at bar mitzvahs or in the mall at Sweet 16 parties. You know, it's something that she was clearly having fun with, and unfortunately the rest of the nation did not share that esprit de corps.
There was much fun being had, perhaps at her expense.
I think that's probably true, but it does make one long for a time when the most difficult decision facing you is whether to kick it in the front seat or in the back seat. I think that's something we can all think about.
So if that wasn't the worst song of the year for you,
yes,
what was?
It's a tough question, obviously a subjective one, but probably a song that I would vote for would be a song called Lighters, which is by Bad Meets Evil. It's a collaboration between Eminem and Royce the 5'9", another rapper.
Mm-hmm.
But on this song, they rope in the completely milquetoast crooner Bruno Mars, which makes it Bad Meets Evil meets banal.
Well, isn't there an old expression about the banality of evil?
I think that's possibly true.
Worst song of the year, Andy Greenwald suggests this for your musical delectation.
People don't usually come back this way from a place that was dark as I was in just to get to this place. Now let these words be like a switchblade to a hater's ribcage. And let it be known that from this day forward, I want to just say thanks. Because your hate is what gave me the strength. So let them pitch race. Because I came in 5'9", but I feel like I'm 6'8".
This one's for you and me. Living out our dreams.
Bad Meets Evil is the name of this collaboration. I don't think, Andy, they meant that as a kind of statement of quality control.
No, let me begin talking about the song being a little controversial. I think that drug use is a terrible thing. Drug addiction is a scourge, obviously. The human part of me is happy that Eminem seems so recovered and over his demons. The song, his message is relatively positive, I would say, about his recovery. But as a music fan, I'm not so sure.
You said it's the worst song of the year.
Yeah, I'm not so sure if this has been a good thing for him. I mean, the Eminem of old would have dismembered Bruno Mars and stashed him in the closet. This Eminem collaborates with him on a power ballad. I'm just not sure if Eminem has in fact smiled since 2003. And here we are.
Andy Greenwald is here in the Soundcheck studio, giving us a real nice holiday send-off on our Critics Week. We're looking at the worst of 2011, and we've got some calls, we've got some comments. Everybody's a Scrooge on this Friday. Let's take a call from Mike in Connecticut, who I suspect is going to be one of a large chorus of voices. Mike, what didn't you like in 2011?
I don't think I disliked anything more than Lulu, courtesy of Lou Reed and Metallica.
Mm-hmm. Why?
just because I'm you know, not being a metalhead, but revering and respecting the musicianship and history and just passion that Metallica puts into their music, and as long as they've been around, and you know, Lou Reed is just one of the all-time greats. I mean, you know, I will say that the unintended consequence of this album was that it somehow got me to this album that Lou Reed put out in 1978 that never made it beyond vinyl, called Street Hassle.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so that would be the, you know, because sometimes you're really into things that are like so bad they're great, kind of like the Friday song you were just talking about. You know, I mean, it became popular, I think, because it was so terrible.
Right.
Lulu is just like, you hear it, you can't even hear it all the way through once.
Mm-hmm. Andy, you're nodding vigorously.
Yeah, I would say that it pushes the boundaries of unlistenable.
The album's called Lulu, collaboration between Lou Reed and Metallica.
We worship someone who actively despises you. For worship, someone who actively despises you. I am the root. I am the progress. I'm the aggressor. I am the tablet. These 10 stories.
So that's Lulu from Lou Reed and Metallica, which has actually gotten already several votes from our listeners for worst of the year. We're asking what you think the biggest musical mistake of 2011 was. And when I asked you, Andy, I mean, you hedged a little bit before coming down on the side of Bad Meets Evil and the song Lighters. Who else was in the running there?
Oh, for worst song
yeah.
of the year? I mean, I have to say I also would have cast a vote for Lutalica. I'm sorry to keep coming back to it, but the thing about that record, you know, I think my friend and colleague Chuck Klosterman said it best. He wrote a very smart essay about it, basically saying that in a vacuum, this was the dream. You have two legendary artists free of you know, financial concerns, of major label pressures, pursuing their art in a way that, you know, that they saw fit. Unfortunately, sometimes when you want boundary-free art like that, this is what you end up with.
Well, what about, you know, if we stick with the world of pop music?
Sure.
Will.i.am is on your list.
Yes, this was at times this may, in fact, have taken the top spot as worst song of the year. This is a Will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas, which is a group that probably regularly makes these sorts of grinchy lists at the end of years. His solo single is called THE, The Hardest Ever. And it is a collaboration with Jennifer Lopez and Mick Jagger. And it basically sounds like someone auto-tuning a marketing report.
It is produced, though, to within an inch of its life.
It certainly is, yes.
Here is the song, THE, from Will.i.am.
I'ma go hard, hard to the core. Hard like liquid swords. Harder than worldwide stadium tours. I am the future, DeLorean doors. Will it survive? Never decease. I don't think I'm ever gonna rest in peace. I'ma kill a game, leave the rest in pieces. Now everybody want my recipes. Tell a jealous chicken, I don't know what the beef is. I'm just making money for my grandkids' nieces. I'ma work hard, that's my thesis. 40-yard dashing, screeching. Pardon me, ma'am. I'ma go dumb. Smart I am. I'm complicated. Hard I am. I end the beginning and start it again.
That is called THE, The Hardest Ever. Will.i.am featuring Mick Jagger. Yes, Mick Jagger does appear like 3.5 minutes
into
the song.
Yeah, there's something almost deliciously cynical about that song where you can imagine every decision being made to appeal to a different demographic. If Jennifer Lopez is on it, maybe he can perform it on American Idol. And then you have the worst thing of all. You have Mick Jagger, who sounds, when he comes in, yes, as you said, 30 seconds before the end, as if he had been roused after too many gin and tonics on a polo pitch and just, you know, asked to yowp into a microphone. This was done because, you know, Will.i.am's record boss is Jimmy Iovine, who is a friend of Mick Jagger. And my only thought after hearing the song is Mick Jagger needs better friends.
So we're talking about the worst of 2010 at the end of our Critics Week, full of best ofs. We're asking you what you think the biggest musical mistakes of the year were. Our phone number, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or leave a comment on the webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Tim is on the line from Georgia. Tim, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hey, how you doing?
What didn't you like? What was the big musical mistake of the year?
The Beach Boys Smile Sessions.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, why? I mean, this is something that people had been looking forward to for years. What disappointed you about it?
It's just a lot of pretentious tomfoolery.
Were you one of those people that was anxiously waiting to hear these long-lost sessions?
No, I wasn't.
All right. Well, what about you, Andy? I mean, were you a...
I'm a Beach Boys fan, but I would agree that, you know, when something is heralded for decades as a lost masterpiece, it's very hard for it to live up to the years of breathless hype.
This is a little bit from the Smile Sessions by the Beach Boys. The Beach Boys' Smile Sessions, and a song called Do You Like Worms? Subtitled Roll Plymouth Rock.
It's Rebecca Black-esque.
That's fairly disappointing. But, Andy, you raise a good point. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, Chinese Democracy, you know, the album that everyone was waiting for 20 years. And when it finally comes, how do you possibly live
That's right. The legend will always, always be better than what it actually ends up being delivered. We saw that with another artist, Dr. Dre, for example, who is, I think, 11 years into making his follow-up album to his last record. And he sort of dipped a toe into the water with a few singles this year, and they were as bloodless and disappointing as the Will.i.am song we just heard. And then he disappeared again. So
you like your music bloody, then?
Wow, I guess so. Sort of the way I like my steaks or something, yeah.
I mean, you talk about the sort of bloodless nostalgia
right.
of Adele and Fleet Foxes.
Right.
These are bands that are very critically acclaimed.
Yeah, and I have no beef, sorry to go there again for our vegan listeners, with those artists. I just find it a little disappointing, the just sort of breathless embrace of bands that are so resolutely unrisky. We see this a lot in other areas. You know, when the economy goes bad, people rush towards macaroni and cheese and hamburgers and things, comfort food, familiar sounds. And I think that's fine in and of itself, but I think it sets us up as listeners for a worse 2012 and beyond. If we don't embrace the more challenging sounds now, you know, I'm already dreading the next 2 years of listening to slightly less talented Adele's rolling in slightly shallower deeps.
And in terms of Fleet Foxes, I mean, we just heard a little bit from the Beach Boys. That seems to be a touchstone for them.
Yeah, it's unfair to pick on them because I think they seem like very nice young men with truly nice beards. And they do their own thing very well. But, you know, they are being lionized for making something that is perhaps a little bit I think it's a modestly good record when it's being held up as one of the very best.
All right. What were the big musical mistakes of 2011? Let's go back to the phones. Lauren with us from Livingston. Lauren, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what do you got?
Party Rock by LMFAO.
You're getting two thumbs up from Andy here. You first, Lauren. What did you not like about that song?
I've always thought it was incredibly annoying, but then I actually saw the music video, which just topped it all off.
And Andy, what do you think?
I don't want my thumbs to be misinterpreted. I love that song.
That's what I was wondering, whether the thumbs up was you were agreeing with her or for the song.
I think that we as a culture get the novelty songs we deserve, and I think that song is will sound great on late night compilations in the future, and it's just a lot of fun. It's an incredibly silly song.
Lauren, sorry to do this to you. Here's LMFAO.
Yeah.
Well, you can love them or hate them, and apparently people do both. That's LMFAO and their song called Party Rock, which was sort of hard to avoid this year. And that, I mean, that, Andy, is always sort of the mark of something that will appear on top 10 and bottom 10 lists.
That's right. The truly, truly bad songs rarely get heard by anyone.
Right.
And they don't become phenomenons for good or ill. Yeah.
So what about, we're talking about a lot of pop music. We're talking about not so much rock, with the obvious exception of the Lou Reed Metallica thing. What happened to the rock market?
I think that's another one of the worst trends of the year. The sort of rock market has been fading and fading over the last few years, partly due to record company infrastructure falling out, and then rock radio sort of disappearing as well. So what we ended up with this year were a lot of artists was quite, it was very savvy from a financial standpoint. Aiming towards the global marketplace, where people are still buying records and still treating them like the world-beating idols that they feel that they deserve to be treated as. So we saw bands like Maroon 5, who are nominally a soft rock band, reinventing themselves this year as a disco band, going for that global market.
The moves like Jagger.
Moves like Jagger,
thing.
Yeah.
Is that on your list of the worst of 2011?
I think it would scrape that list. Yeah, it's a pretty challenging song to make it all the way through.
What about, you're talking about sort of globalization and stuff. The Occupy movement had its own soundtrack.
It did. It was a rhythmic soundtrack, let's say, an instrumental soundtrack. It was primarily drums, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And
this was a movement that did not get the protest songs that it deserved.
This is what a drum jam sounded like down at Zuccotti Park, Occupy Wall Street. All right, as Andy Greenwald said, Occupy Wall Street probably didn't get the protest music it deserves.
No, I think the drums bring out have bad connotations for people who remember walking through the quad of their college, at off hours, and it bothers the neighbors, regardless of your political affiliation. I was hoping they would embrace Miley Cyrus's donated protest song. She made a video in support of the Occupy movement for her song Liberty Walk. And unfortunately, I feel like that was sort of mocked by a lot of the occupiers, when in fact it would have been good branding. They could have been broadcasting their movement the same way that Maroon 5 and Will.i.am did all around the world.
All right, let's see if we can get some quick comments in off the webpage. And for that, we go to the control room and Joel Meyer.
John, Billy from the Lower East Side has something he wants to remind us about. Billy writes, Rebecca Black's song Friday might be on the worst of 2011 list of many, but we are still talking about her, and she got her 15 minutes of fame and enough money to pay for college. Any college,
good for her.
Our, we asked listeners, did you see a bad show? Did you buy a bad album? Rodmer wrote in. He wrote, it was not that bad, but I was frankly disappointed in Pucifer's show at BAM. The music really wasn't up to the technical visual show and onstage antics that went on. Now, Pucifer is the band now fronted by Maynard James Keenan from the band Tool. And Kevin from Manhattan writes this. Coldplay's continued demise and precipitous fall from decency with Milo Xylito. Brian Eno actually destroyed this band. Go figure.
Wow. All right. So those are just some of the contenders for worst musical mistake of 2011. What a nice way to end our Critics Week. Andy Greenwald is author and pop culture correspondent at Grantland.com. Andy, thank you for being here with us.
Thanks
Happy
so much
holidays
for
anyway.
You. Same to you.
And that's going to do it for Critics Week and Soundcheck today. You know, we did more than 200 live performances in 2011, and a lot of great music happened in our studios, and all next week we'll bring you the best. We'll kick off on Monday with songs from the indie pop artist St. Vincent, the jazz collaboration called James Farm, the California trio Foster the People, and more. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell, the program produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck. Monday.